Last week, Tuesday, the National Employers Association of South Africa, known as NIASA, and Sakalicha jointly filed an urgent application for an interdict against the implementation of the 2025 Employment Equity Sectoral Numerical Quotas and accompanying administrative regulations, as well as calling for the judicial review and setting aside thereof. The application challenges the legality and constitutionality of the newly introduced Employment Equity Framework, which introduces rigid race and gender quotas across 18 economic sectors on the top 4 occupational levels. These quotas, formally published in April, require employers with 50 or more employees to restructure their entire workforce to reflect national gender and racial demographics of the country or face dire consequences. Now, with me on the phone to unpack this is Gerard Papenfuss, who is the CEO of the National Employers Association of South Africa, known as NIASA. Gerard, thank you so much for joining us on the Home Run. If we can start with the basics, what exactly are these employment equity quotas that NIASA and Sakalicha are challenging?
It boils down to the following. I'm going to describe or explain it in the following manner. South African society is divided into two categories according to this scheme, this race-based scheme. Two categories. The one category consists out of designated groups. The designated group consists out of black people, which consist out of Africans, male and females, colors, male and females, Indians, male and females, males, Chinese, males and females, white women for these purposes, and disabled people, people with disabilities. So what is left? That brings you to the non-designated group. This consists out of only one group, white males, men. Men with no disabilities. They are non-designated. They are, for the purposes of this exercise, actually persona non grata. You don't have to employ any of these. The rest of the people must be within 5 years' time, and you must now submit a plan which says how you're going to introduce that by the end of August, is divided per race group, so many percentage black, male and female colored, male and female percentage Indian specifics. It goes down to say, if it is in a particular group, you must employ 1.79% so many Indian females, for instance. And then there's a quota set for them, but when it gets to white males, you don't have to employ any of those. But you must just understand what is the other side of this whole thing, is the moment a person is pushed out of the market, a white male, and he starts his own business, then all of a sudden, if his business prospers, they will tell him, now, if you want to deal with the state or with big business, then you must be 51% black owned. So that is economic persecution of a particular class of people.
No, definitely. I want to just mention again to our listeners, if any of you have a question for Gerard Papenfuss, the CEO of NIASA, the National Employers Association of South Africa, just WhatsApp me on 061-895-1019. Gerard, the legal action has two components, a judicial review and a constitutional challenge. Can you explain the difference between the two?
Well, the one is administrative. The one is a technical administrative. We challenge the process they followed in reaching this conclusion which they reached, and we will show in court that it was manufactured. There was no consultation that took place, and it's actually simply impossible to reach that. But apart from that, and I will explain that, you must understand that a businessman doesn't become a businessman so that somebody else tell you how many people of what race you must employ. In business, you employ people on merit, regardless of the race. And you don't sit down with a spreadsheet in front of you and compile your workforce on the basis of the color of people. It's not a color scheme. It's not a painting. Business is something different, and different dynamics is required. So this is the technical part, and in all respects, they failed. They did not consult. I mean, it's actually pretty obvious that the case is a fatal case. And if you ask me now, so are you going to win that case? Well, if this case was placed before a proper judge, a guy that judge that considers the law, then we our chances were 100%. But you're never sure. You're never sure. I mean, for instance, let me just use an example. There's a consultation took place in terms of Section 15A of the Employment Equity Act. Now, that particular clause in the Act only came into existence in 1st of January, but they consulted in 23 and 24. And they said they were going to, when they said they will introduce this Act, when they said they will introduce this Act in January of this year, we pointed out to the President and say, if you do that, we'll bring an urgent application because you've consulted, but the whole process was null and void because that legislation, empowering legislation in terms of which you consulted, did not even exist. So they tried to fix it in this year, and in February they consulted. They consulted on 18. They consulted with 18 industries. They did the entire consultation process took place in 7 days with 18 industries. And some industries, they consulted with 3 industries in a day. The consultation process took 1.5 hours, where they for more than an hour explained it and then consulted with an industry for 15, 20 minutes. So now that's not consultation. For instance, the steel industry manufacturing consists out of many subsectors: steel, plastic, agro processing, chemical, motor, clothing, and textile. Many subsectors. They throw all of that into one basket and had a few inputs for minutes, and that's not consultation. And even the sectors that they've defined, they never consulted about it, although that is specifically prescribed that you must consult about the definition of the sector. So the case, in my view, is actually fatal.
There's concern about the impact, of course, on small and medium businesses. How are these quotas expected to affect employers with 50 or more staff?
Well, let me give you a few examples. Truck drivers. Well, first of all, nobody wants to employ on the basis of race. When people sit in front of you as the owner of a business and you must employ the best person available, how can you turn away certain candidates because the color of the skin is wrong? Yeah. So that in itself is fatal. The moment you do that, now the government has done that with the state. Now you know there's nothing left of the state. The place is destroyed. They've done it with state-owned enterprises like Eskom and the post office and all these places. That is totally run into the ground. And now they do exactly the same thing with the private sector. So that's extremely dangerous. But let me use an example. There's truck drivers. Now, truck drivers are male generally. Not generally, almost 100%. This says that transport company must employ 50% females as truck drivers. Now, can you imagine the disaster? Let's go to education. There are more female teachers, so you must fire them and get male teachers. In construction, it's a predominant male industry. You must fire half of that and employ women. Now, you know, our government is economically retarded. I mean, you know, they can. I mean, if a person that even think about it, this is impossible. Then hospitals, nurses, fire them and employ. You must reach a target. Now, this is what's going to happen. You can't fire people for this purpose. But now you have to explain why you didn't reach your targets. And then a government official, of all things, will decide whether your excuse why you didn't reach your targets is acceptable. Your targets isn't acceptable. So, well, we're in court now, and we stopped it. This is the first part. Then there's the second part, constitutional challenge, which is still coming. We just want to finish this part of the trial first. And that will be a big thing. So, you know, win or lose, we know whoever loses is going to appeal. So we'll be in court for the next decade or so.
If the court rules in favor of you, what might change, yeah, and what happens if you lose?
Well, if we win, look, this part of this challenge, the procedural part, they can fix that. Although that's not that simple. But you can fix the procedural technical part. But, you know, government isn't that clever. You know, they when they screw up something and you beat them in court and they try to fix it, they screw up it again. So they don't get the things really right easily. So, you know, this in itself will be a long fight. But if we lose, well, then we'll appeal it. But we're not going to stop. We cannot stop doing with this thing because it is simply impractical. It cannot be implemented.
And when is the next court hearing?
Well, the urgent application, we've got a date for the urgent application for the 10th of August. And the reason why it's urgent, because the first reports to government must be in by the end of August. So, and you know, if you don't comply, you can be hit with a penalty eventually that amounts to 10% of your turnover. That's not that's quite a substantial threat over hanging over the head of business. So, but we're fighting it now, and this will be a long, hard fight, and we will not drop business on this one.
Gerard Papenfuss, the CEO of the National Employers Association of South Africa, NIASA, thank you for fighting the fight for so many of us.